Мне кажется, что
it seems to me that
каждому человеку,
every person
который беспокоится о своей
that
жизни,
is concerned about his life,
тех проблемах, которые возникают
about the
перед
problem
ним,
he faces,
самым главным,
the most important thing is to understand the sense of his life.
Не понимая этого смысла,
without understanding the sense of his life, it is hard to evaluate all the circumstances
which
surrounds his life. It's true. When we do something, we know for sure why we do this. We all know this. But suddenly, a man lives and he is asked, why do you live? So he shrugs his shoulders. Where is my mind? The main thing why he lives and he doesn't know how to answer the question, he is bewildered. This is the main task for a man, is to decide why I live for, why I live. Even without knowing, we have no idea when my life will end. So there are two different world views which give an answer to this question. One of them says that you live as everyone who is alive lives. You live, you end, and that's it. In this case, you, as a human being, will end in an eternal death. All your plans, all your aspirations can be thrown away. So, your last sigh, and you have nothing. What is then the sense of my life? Well, what is the sense? While I'm living, so I do something, so I do, I live. This is the world view which leaves no hopes for a man, no perspective, leaves no hope that everything a person lives for, everything he did for, can be evaluated, that a person will have the fruit of his life. No, nothing is left. This worldview is strict, and it says directly, believe, you man, believe that you will face the eternal death. That's the point. There is a different worldview, a Christian worldview, which says that a person is indestructible. Yes, a body dies, but body is not a human being. Body is like a house where this human being lives in. The Christian worldview says we are here on our way. We live as in the hotel, and for a certain period of time we are told, please, live a bit. Yes, live a bit, you have nowhere to go. Please, you're welcome, live here, but you bear in mind that at any moment we may oust you out. And at any moment, suddenly, either we read or we see, so we get to know that suddenly a person existed and now he's not here. He's not here already. So your time is up. Your time is up, they say. But the time is only the time of living in the hotel, but you yourself do not disappear. You remain your conscience, your intelligence, your moral, your spiritual experience remains, but the certain sphere of existence changes. But I do not disappear. I remain here. Nowadays there is much literature, including the serious literature, which enumerates a number of facts about the experience of a man which he experienced when his death was stated, but then he was brought back to life. I say that there is much literature now. There's always been much literature. These facts are well known. I mean, before recent days, all this was called superstition, as anti-theoretical things. They were going against the true facts, but the facts say, yes, a person does not die when his body dies. We name this worldview a religious one. We call it a Christian one. So from this point of view, if I don't really die, then a question of big importance arises. Why do I live? What is the sense of my life? And what should I do in order for this sense to reach its goal, since the Christianity says that our whole moral and spiritual knowledge, which we are creating now during our life, determines our whole future. In the same way as the sportsman, whether he is training in a good way or in a bad way, so during the competition it becomes clear how he was getting ready for the competition. You can perform well, but you may fail, and that's it. The Christianity says that the life is given to us in order to pass the examination. This life is very small. This is an instant. Just think, the history is grand. Tens of thousands of years as compared to our life. It's a small spark. You know, the fire is burning, the spark flies out and fades away. It transpires that a man lives not for this instant, not for this spark, but lives in order to exist forever, to experience forever what and how. The Christianity states, this is the first thing the Christianity claims, that there is God. It's not the creature like we are. It's a spiritual creature. It's another category which we cannot describe, but we can live it through, we can feel it, we can experience it, we can know it. The religious experience of the whole mankind, of the whole history, says that people have always known about God, have always experienced His existence, have always known that God wants good for people, the Christianity proclaimed an unprecedented teaching about God, saying that God is love. You know, when I have to hear that, and when I read that God is love, I have a question involuntarily. So one question always arises. Which one? When everything is good, when I am a success, I am healthy,
then,
so I'm not against it really, that I don't mind that God exists, and I don't mind when God is love, but very many people who do not have everything, do not have full health, do not have big money, do not have enough money to survive, do not have living conditions, they are not on high positions in society. Just let's recall the slavery times. Who is a slave? He was a thing which the owner could do anything about. So here is the question. How is it? Is God love or not? Or he is love to those who do well? What about the rest of the people?
Is it true?
Isn't it an important question for every man who suffers, who is ill, who is in sufferings, who is in mournings? Yes, it is the most important question. How can we understand? You know, one of my discoveries, may I confess to you? One of my discoveries was the following one. I was objecting all the time. What's unfairness? Bandits, rich people are in power, but the rest are poor, sick. Is it fair? And do you know what discovery did I once have? I understood something wonderful, that I face the question, the issue, who is wiser, me or God? I never doubted that I was wiser. That's why I was objecting against God. And once I thought about it, am I wiser than God? And you know, it's become scary for me. Suddenly, somebody who created this wonderful world, somebody who shocks the imagination of a man, who created this beauty, you know, that the first who named this universe, named it Cosmos. Do you know who he was? Pythagoras. Do you know what it means? It means beauty. Space means beauty. He must have been looking at the night sky for a long time. So this is the sky, this is the space. We're used to this word as to the universe. If we try to understand that everything is created in order, if we look at the nature surrounding us, unfortunately we live in towns, in the stony cages, but if we look at the nature, sometimes we even get amazed with it. God is someone wise, is someone powerful. And I start thinking, and I start saying, God, why do you think is better for me? And I think that it is better for me. He may be smiling and saying, poor boy. So you, what do you see? You see this tiny point, and what do I see? I see everything wider. And I see that if I could do in a different way, it would be a catastrophe for a man. We know lots of cases of this kind. A lethally ill man asks to heal him. You know, it happens. There are different cases when a person recovers from this disease. So suddenly this humble man who was ill, who was asking to heal him, he was asking doctors that he was ready to give everything to be healed. So they did give him everything. He recovered. And what's next? What is next? What horrible cases sometimes occur. What this recovered man starts doing? He was a man and became a beast. Even worse than that, he became a devil. I set this example in order to say that our vision of what is happening to us is very narrow, is secluded in a small field of this tiny point. And unfortunately, we don't know even who we are. We don't know ourselves. No. Which of us? I mean, so if we were 100,000 people here and we asked them, and we ask, you know, all the people on the globe, there are 7 billion people, if we ask them all, do you know what is better for you, for each of you? Is it better that you are rich or poor? Successful? Or not so. Athlete, healthy man, or a humble one, a mediocre one? Who knows what is better? From what point of view? From what evaluation? But the evaluation should be as following. What does it mean, better life? Under which condition can a person remain a person, to remain a human being? Just look, who commits crimes? Do you know who commits crimes? Lots of people who physically are absolutely healthy, they are absolutely healthy, they are psychologically healthy, and suddenly horrible crimes they commit. What is that? Why does it happen? Tell me what that is. Isn't it the sign that the most precious thing in a person is not fame, is not wealth, no, is not a high administrative position? It all doesn't make a man. Go to the history. Bad men were reigning over the whole nation. Who were they? One Roman emperor, Caligula. He was regretting about, do you know what? Every day he was executing Roman people for for different reasons. He was executing hundreds, thousands of people, and he was regretting that the Roman, that the Roman people had did not have one head, so that he could execute them all once and for good. And they were bothering him all the time. So the question is, what is better for a human being? So we cannot answer this question even to ourselves. We don't know even who we are. What will happen to me? I am poor. What will happen if I am rich? I am weak. I'm afraid what will happen to me if I'm given power, strength? I do not mean anything. I'm a simple man. What will happen if I am appointed to a high posture? You must have heard the phrase. A man was risen up to a corporate ladder. So, what is happening to him then? People wonder, what is happening to him? No, there was a man who became a beast, a bastard. He didn't even expect it himself. No one did. These are examples which claim that, unfortunately, we do not see ourselves. We do not know what is better for me. We don't know what is really better for me. From which point of view? From the point of view that I have to preserve my own self, so that I am a man, a human being, not a beast, not an idol who requires worshipping. So Christianity claims and pays its all attention, its all claim to make a man, a human being. What does it mean to make a man a human being? Am I not a human being? Is it really a question? An important question? It turns out that I'm a very good man until everybody treats me in a good way, until I do well. As soon as I am worse, I start being nervous. I lose friendship with the people who I was getting along. Why do I lose that? Do you know that my neighbor has got a better car than I do? You think of that. Who would tolerate this? I become green because of my envy. He is a beast. He has a better car. Suddenly he built a better house than I have. Oh my God. Suddenly he was decorated, not me. So it's a suffering, it's a tragedy, it's a real tragedy for me. It's a marvelous thing. It turns out that I can not avoid being envious. I cannot avoid being angry. I cannot avoid judging people. I cannot avoid being unfair to people. I cannot avoid lying. I cannot avoid disguising. I am so good. Aren't I? I'm good. I'm so good. What a nice person I am. So I can be a saint straight away. Do not touch me. Do not touch me. Otherwise, it's going to be stinky. So that's what Christianity speaks about. A man. Look into yourself. The Christianity claims that we need, that a person needs healing. See how we judge other people. He's a bandit. He's a bastard. I see other people, but I don't see myself. I'm always the best in the world. I've always been the best in the world. Christianity says that this is the gist of a human being, his soul. His soul, that's what it speaks about. This is the most precious thing in a man. Here we see a human being. In this we see him, not in other things. So Christianity claims, calls for a human being to heal himself so that I really could avoid being angry, avoid hating other people, treating people with respect, loving everyone, wishing him all the good. That's what Christianity calls for, to make a man saint. Why do we need this? I wish we were living only in this instant. Yes, it would be senseless, but Christianity says that a human being is destined to an eternal life, but not to this little small spark. So the spark flew out from the pipe and faded away. This is just the beginning of your being, of your existence, only the beginning. But this beginning is given to you as the examination where you can show what you want a person. I wonder what you want. Do you want to be kind? You want to be beautiful? You want to be loving? You want to be fair? You want to be humble? Or you want to be rich, famous, high, powerful? So choose the values. All these earthly values end in what? In coffin. Today he is strong and powerful. Tomorrow he is buried, and he is buried into the earth. But these spiritual things which we are speaking about now, when we say, what a beautiful man, he's fair, he's sacrificing, he's humble, he's fair, and it's even hard now to find a fair man, so that he did not lie. If he promises, he will do. If you go to this man for assistance, he will help you. This is a man. He is sympathetic. That's what is valuable. And it is valuable in accordance with the eternity every person is destined to live in, and no one will be able to avoid it. But this eternity can be very different. So here we know the difference when we speak about conscience. So how dirty conscience can torture a human being, how he suffers, how he worries. I think that everybody either read or heard the novel by Dostoevsky, Crime and Punishment. Recall the main hero, Raskolnikov. Remember him when he killed, thinking to do good. What happened to him? Dostoevsky marvelously showed the inner moral world of a human being. He showed that's where your happiness or non-happiness rested, where not the wealth of your outer facet, but the clean conscience. Dostoevsky showed marvelously all this with sharpness, with beauty. This is the example which tells us what is the gist, the main idea of a man. What all our inner and outer activity should be aimed at. That's what it should be aimed at. We read in the Gospel wonderful words, happy are the clean in heart. You just think about it. So Jesus Christ would have said, happy are the rich, happy are the famous, happy are wealthy. No, happy are the clean in their hearts, where there is no, where there is no perfection, cleanness in the conscience, there will be no happy people. Many people in their lives get to know this, but we should not forget that eternal life is a fact, no matter how you're trying to avoid it. Do you know what atheism is? It's an ostrich who is hiding away his head in the sand when it faces danger. Nothing will happen, nothing will happen. We live only here. Oh my God, we live only here, only here. During the whole history, the mankind was crazy. And here, nowadays, we have a discovery. There is no God, there is no soul. Man, you are a beast, you're an animal, and nothing more. So what's the advantage? Oh my God. And eternal death is awaiting you. So, in the face of these two worldviews, every man should face, it is very important to consciously determine, not to speak about worldviews like there are two worldviews, they as if they existed separately from me. No, in this case we are speaking about my own life, my own futurity, my own future life, where which cannot be avoided by any of us. We cannot hide away from it. We will all find ourselves in this eternity. And it is so important what we will take there with us. With what? With which things? Of good or evil, with fairness or hypocrisy, or lie, fairness or hypocrisy, what we will take there? Because eternal life is the life of light, where there is no darkness. Everything will open up. The state of everybody's, everyone's soul. It will be clear to everybody. Here we can smile cunningly, and nobody will understand that I smile cunningly. There, everything will be clear to everyone, and everyone will see if I really had friendship, if I really was saying fair words, or I was lying, and I was a hypocrite. This is the spiritual world, which is real, we are facing every day. And we need to determine here, here and now, at this instant, at this moment of our earthly existence. Happy is the man who will do it. This is the main question. All other questions are not that important. Today they exist, tomorrow they do not. But this determines my life. It determines me as I am. I would like to share to you my thoughts in order that we could to once again think seriously about the main thing: why do I live? What do I live for? So that I wake up, wash my face, have dinner, come home, have supper, watch TV, go to bed, and an eternal spiraling of events. Eternal spiraling of events, and time is ticking away. He was young, beautiful, and some changes started to happen to him. Then later, so don't we understand what happens later? Don't we understand that what a trifle thing, what a nonsense is to hope that something will happen on this earth? No, the same things will be happening on this earth, and no one will be able to avoid it. Since you have come here to the Holy Trinity Saint Sergius Lavra, you've come to this theological academy, and you wanted to meet the representative of this theological school, I think that I must tell you everything you have just heard. So that's the point. So thank you very much indeed that you treat it with understanding, and you do not throw at me with eggs and tomatoes. If you have any questions, please, I am ready to try to answer your questions. So please, you're welcome to ask me. In contemporary life, young people use internet, other media of fast transferring of the information. How can I, as a clergyman, help critically thinking youngsters to start loving God? Sometimes they say, how can I learn not to judge people, not to drink alcoholic drinks, not to do other bad things? How to become a man? I am ready to answer. So address sports people when they started as no ones, but they have become Olympic champions. If you see the difference between what he was and what he is now, it is shocking. As well as here, we sometimes offer people the high position, and they drop everything instantly. So I lifted 100 kilograms, and I'm sad. Well, lift 200 kilograms. What do you say? No, I won't do it. No. I think that for youngsters, the first thing we have to show them is that Christianity does not reject, does not turn down anything what is important for his normal manly human existence. I will tell you simply, just eat. But not eat but not eat too much. Drink, drink, but not drink too much as a beast. I'm sorry for this word. Marry, get married, but not, but don't, I'm afraid to say something. Isn't it clear? So it turns out what Christianity speaks about. One of the great people, Pimen the Great, there are not many people who the church calls the great. He said, we are the killers, not of our bodies, but of the passions. This is the slogan, credo of Christianity. So not the body. Eat, drink, get married, live a normal life, feed yourself. Apostle Paul wrote, those who won't care for their relatives, especially their own ones, especially those in their own households, have denied the true faith. Can you hear that? That's what Christianity calls for. Someone whom we all know very well, whom we once had tea when we were school children, Blaise Pascal. So we know him very well. Yes, sure, we had tea with him in school. He used to say, people who believe in God do not lose anything in this life. Because you're welcome, you have the right to live and you get respect. Everyone says, oh, he's a fair man, oh, he's a reliable man, he will not fail you, he doesn't lose anything here. I mean, a man who believes in God, but otherwise, he obtains everything if God exists. On the contrary, people who do not believe in God, what more, what else he can get? So can he rob? Can he lie? No, it's shameful, shameful. What else? What else? Does he reject an elementary human morality? No. What more can he get here in this life? So is fairness always a sign of humanity, but not believing here? If God exists, those people who don't believe in God lose everything there. It is Blaise Pascal, it is his famous Paris de Pascal. Do you know that Paris, so we bet. So he, in very simple words, very easily showed the difference between believing in God and not believing in God. So what is important for young people to know? So yes, we have internet, we have other means of communication. So a young man even knows when he sees some images on the internet, he feels whether to see or not, whether to look at these pictures or not look at these pictures. Here, the struggle of your humanity with shame starts. So let us start with this point. What way will we select? The way of cleanness or the way of dirt? The first and foremost thing we have to speak to young people, they need to determine between these two worldviews, whether God exists or God does not exist, whether we have the future life or we don't have the future life, whether we have the life of cleanness or dirt. You man have to determine whether you are an intelligent, wise human creature or not. We are ready to answer the question to you. This is the main, this is the primary question of all your life. I think that If we speak to young people in this way, I have no doubt that living souls will react to these conversations. They will start getting interest in what Christianity is, what it gives to people. What does the absence of belief take away from us? Then, on the basis of this, we can proceed going on. Do you know the word aesthetics? Yes, I do. I do, or I don't. Aesthetics? If you enter the word in the computer to be translated into Russian, it is a Greek word, which means a sportsperson, sportsman. Aesthetics means training, doing exercises. Over what? Over ourselves. Do you know the German poet Friedrich Logau, who wrote beautiful lines? Yes, the struggle with ourselves is the most difficult struggle. The victory of all victories is the victory over ourselves. Isn't it good? I think that we can speak to contemporary young people in this direction, in this way. So you're welcome. What can I tell a young man who reacting to my answer that Jews were down to earth before Jesus Christ's advent, they were waiting for the earthly kingdom, not the kingdom of heaven that he was promising. He was promising promised land, but he killed many children, so he didn't promise anything. What should I answer? So he was promising the kingdom of heaven to Jews as well as to Russians, Greeks, Englishmen and other nations. God's mother was a Jew. Apostles were Jews. So it means, where are they now? Are they in hell? No. What a rubbish. We're not speaking about Jews. We're speaking about those people who were crying, "Crucify him!" Yes, sure. Who were rejecting the truth, and regardless of the nation, whether they are Jews or not, everyone who is struggling against the truth, they will not obtain the kingdom of heaven. Not just because they are Jews. Jesus Christ came to the Jewish people because the people was very sick, ill. That's why his words address these people. But his words are aimed at everybody, at all the peoples in the world. Good afternoon, Alexey Evlich. I got a question. How to obtain the true belief, not the fake traditional pagans belief. If we go to the gospel, we will understand everything. Happy are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. What is this? By the way, you know that in Greek scriptures of the New Testament, in some scriptures, it is written, like, happy are the poor without the spirit. But in most scriptures, it's written, happy are the poor in spirit. So what am I driving at? So in the West, In the West, they say the happiest people are the poor. But this is The truth is hidden here. Why God? Why does God love poor in the spirit? Because the person understands that he is not the man, who he is destined to be, who he is doomed to be. So I cannot avoid hating, lying, disguising, only touch me. Well, do not dare touch me. I'm so good, I'm so nice. So happy are the poor in the spirit. I know that it is bad to judge. He is my friend. He is my friend, so it's not good to judge him. I know this. Yes, I do know this. So, and what? I will never do it again. Suddenly, I got a phone call. You know? Peter. Do you know what Peter did? Oh, he's a bastard. He's a bad guy. But I have just promised not to judge. I did promise never to lie. I did promise. Do you hear that? So when I really made a decision to live according to the commandments, then, only then, I will understand that I cannot do anything. If I do not sin in my actions, I do sin in my thoughts, and my thoughts are the things nobody will had better not see. So if a man makes a decision to live according to evangelical commandments, they are very easy, by the way. He will make sure that he is so far away from this. He will see how poor he is in his spirit. I cannot avoid hating. I cannot avoid judging. I cannot avoid being envious. I cannot avoid being greedy. I cannot eat less. What can you do? Tell me. So he will say, happy is the poor in his spirit. So a person who really saw who he really is, not in his dreams, he will repent of it. He must repent. And God loves those who will repent of their sins. The bandit was the first to enter heaven. The bandit, not the sinner, who had his hands in blood. So he repented of everything he did. We will get everything we deserve. And what we hear, Jesus Christ told him to his repentance. Today you will be with me in heaven. So, that's what it means, being poor in spirit. He saw that he was abandoned. Remember me there, God. You remember me there, because I will never be there, because I am a sinner here, because I will be here. And the answer. And the answer is, that's what being poor in the spirit means. You get happiness today. Today will you be with me in the heaven. Please, you're welcome. Alexeyevich, we are grateful to you for this meeting and for the knowledge you have shared with us today. You jokingly told today that the volume of knowledge you have is vast. Tell me, are there any unsettled issues for you? You have not discovered yet, but you would like to discover. Thank you very much indeed. So, do you think I have unsettled issues? Oh my God, no, it can never happen. I know everything. So you're insulting me, so it's so good. I'm a humble person, but I know everything. That's why I'm answering you in this way. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much indeed for this meeting. It was pleasant for me. I see that you are interested in the issues with warmth. Help God in your lives. God save us. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.